Titus chapter 1. So we have finished chapter 1 verse 1 to 5 that Paul wrote to Titus, the reason why he left Titus in Crete, so that he would set in order that remains and appoint elders in every city as Paul directed as apostles. So now we are in chapter 1 verse 6 to 9, which we know that which is the qualification of an elder, which is most important verses that we need to study about, because we know that the qualification of an elder is most important thing. But today I am not going to preach verse 6 to 9, just I am going to preach on verse 6, which is talking about the elder's family life. An elder's family life. There is not a high of qualification required in secular jobs. Do you believe that? If any man has skill in engineering, then he can be an engineer. He is qualified to be an engineer. They don't ask any other qualification. Any job in the world that you see, if that person has knowledge about that subject that he studied, that's it. They can select that person for that job. They look at your character. If you apply for a secular job, they will look at your conduct and character at a basic level, whether you have a police record or not. That's it. Remaining things they won't ask. Just they ask about your talent, about that subject, that field, then they will give you that job. This is a fact that getting a good secular job in society is very difficult. But once you get it, you will not lose it unless you have done a great crime. But to become an elder in church, is also a very difficult. With one sense, anybody can become elder if they won't follow the qualifications of elders, right? If you want to follow qualification of elder, it is not very easy to become an elder in church. To be an elder in church continually is not easy. In secular job, there you need no requirement of character and conduct of your private life. Here you need character, the conduct of your private life and public life and your church life, as well as your giftedness. You must be able to teach. The one thing, so many times what will happen, the person who is failed in 10th class, the person who is useless in secular job, they tries to become an elder in church, pastor in church. So many parents, they think that this person is not useful. He is going here and there, so I want to send him to seminary so that he can be a pastor. They did not understand the great qualification of elder. It is not easy job. The useless person in secular job is not fit for the greatest job in the church. Those who have a higher standard are eligible to be an elder in church. We should keep. Generally, we need to think about only one qualification, that is able to teach, right? But Christ did not ask only that. He asked character and conduct of an elder. Because those pastors, those elders are going to be a protector, shepherds and spiritual fathers of the church for which he died. So he took very serious. The person who is going to shepherd, who is going to be an elder in the church, he must have higher standard. That's why he wrote verse 6 to 9. The elder must have highest qualification so that he can serve his church. Thus we read Titus chapter 1, verse 6 to 9. It says like this. Verse 6. Namely, if any man is above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion. Verse 7. For the overseer must be above reproach, as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled. Then verse 9, he talks about holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. If you see, Paul is talking about the qualification of elders in different areas. Generally, I used to think that there are many qualifications required to be an elder by reading 1 Timothy and Titus. When I started studying these verses, I understood that there is only one qualification to become an elder in church. That is blamelessness. That is to be above reproach. What about other things that were written in these verses? If you read, for example, husband of one wife, God's steward, not self-willed, not addicted to wine, not fond of sordid gain, hospitable, so on, etc. Right? So what about those things? These are the different areas of life in which elders must be above reproach. Why I'm saying, if you study, if you do your diagram as scholars in Greek and the professionals, look at verse 6, it says, namely, if any man is above reproach, husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion. Look at verse 7. It says, for the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed. He must be above reproach as not quick-tempered. If you do know, if you understand the grammar of the text, the main idea is above reproach. The only one qualification for elder, that is above reproach. But remaining everything, those things are talking about in which areas of life in which the elders must be above reproach. If any man is not above reproach in any of these requirements, then he will be disqualified to be an elder. He cannot be an elder if he is not having above reproach. It is very sure. It is not like how Old Testament works. The church is very different than Old Testament people. The church elders should have the highest standard. That's why he is setting, Paul is writing, ultimately Holy Spirit is writing, the requirement, the qualification of elder, that is blamelessness. Today I want to preach about the family life of an elder. The family life of an elder. Some of you are married. Some of you are going to be married. Some of you are still single, thinking about that. But it is very important to everybody. So it is most important thing. An elder must be blameless in his family life. So that is the theme for verse 6. An elder must be blameless in his family life. The remaining verses talks about an elder must be blameless in his character and in his conduct. Then later, we can see verse 9, an elder must be above reproach in his doctrine, his ability to teach. So, first we look at, today we look at verse 6, which talks about an elder must be blameless in his family life. It is very important, brothers. That's why Paul, even Jesus, put those verses first. The family life of an elder is most important thing. That's why he put first headline, you should be above reproach in your family life if you want to become elder. But look at the word meaning of above reproach. The meaning of the word above reproach is, in Greek, is blameless. But this does not mean that elder must be faultless, perfect, unblemished like Jesus Christ. He is not talking that, he did not use that Greek word, he used another Greek word which means blamelessness. We know that no one is perfect, no one is unblemished. Christ is faultless, Christ is sinless. We know that 1 John chapter 1 verse 8, you memorized, right? If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. The truth is not in us. So if you say that I am perfect, then you are contradicting with the word of God, right? We are not perfect, we are not unblemished, but we must be blameless. The Greek word used for above reproach refers to that a man must be without blame or unaccused. The idea is elders must not be person who are known to be a bad person in society, in the church. Those who are known as ungodly people are not qualified as elders in the church. Even sometimes in society, right, unbelievers will say that he is a very good person because that unbelieving person has good reputation. If you come to the church to become an elder, that person should have above reproach. He should not be accused by anything else, especially in his family life. Elders should have a good public reputation in society, in the church, and in the family as well. Look at the phrase, any man is above reproach. It says, right, any man is above reproach. The idea is in Greek is used to refer to an ongoing state. He must be continually blameless. It is not like sometime, 2 years, he is blameless, he is good. After that, he is not blameless. It is not saying like that. That elder must be above reproach continually. When elder is not blameless, any of those requirements, then he should get down from his position. He can't be an elder. Here we have two required duties of an elder that make him blameless in his family life. The first required duty of an elder that makes him blameless in his family life is being faithful to his wife in marriage. Being faithful to his wife in marriage. That is the required duty. That is necessary duty of an elder which makes him a blameless person in his family life. He must be faithful to his wife. Look at verse 6. It says, if any man is above reproach, the husband of one man. We have a debate about what does it mean to be husband of one wife. Some says that remarried widowers should not be an elder. And some says that those who are not married should not be elders of the church. Based on this statement in Titus, they came different ideas. Oh, you are single? Oh, you cannot be elder. Because it says the husband of one wife. You should marry definitely. People say like that. But if you read Bible carefully, the teachings of Paul, teachings of Jesus, Bible says that widowers can marry. The Bible says that some are called for singleness by the will of God. This is gift of God. Some people will become single for their whole life. That he is not talking about here. He is not talking about that thing. Because the Bible is not contradicting by itself. If someone says that remarried widowers and single men are not qualified elders, they are contradicting the Bible. The best example is Paul, right? Paul was single that time. He did not have a wife. Another example is probably Timothy was single. He was called as young man in pastoral epistles. But I am not sure, probably he was single. But he is the person who is appointing all those elders, right? See, he is not talking about unmarried, remarried widows are not qualified, disqualified. Even we know that, right? Church history says that there are many remarried widowers and single men who served as pastors in church. What about William Carey? You know how many times he married?
Three.
Yeah, three times. But no, after when he became the widower, he married. If unmarried person is qualified for ministry, even Paul would have been disqualified for ministry. By the way, Jesus is single, who taught, who preached the gospel, right? The conclusion is this. The text is not saying unmarried, remarried widowers are disqualified to be elders. But the text is saying that if a man has a wife, only one wife who is alive, he must be faithful to her. He must have purity in the area of sex and marriage. It is very strict. It is talking about if you are married, if you have a wife, you must have faithfulness towards your wife. It is talking about sexual relationship. A man who marries more than one woman, that is polygamist, will be disqualified to be an elder, a pastor. A man who is not faithful to his wife by having sexual relationship with other women is disqualified as elder. That's what it says. You must be faithful to your wife in relationship of sex. His heart is committed to only one woman, that is his wife, not no other woman. One of the classes that I was blessed with Pastor Chris was church planting. When he was teaching about church planting, then he covered about the purity of elders, how we can escape from sexual temptations. While he is explaining that, he is teaching about 1 Timothy. Paul commands young widows should marry. Then he is bringing ideas how pastors are committing sexual sins because of these issues. What will happen? Young widows will come to the church early, right? They don't have any other works. They have a lot of time. Yes, they come to the church, they do all work, they serve, they sing well. Then one day what will happen? This pastor will take her to drop her at her home. Then pick up her from home. One of the two things will happen if the pastor is having so deep relationship and close relationship with any woman in the church, any widow in the church, what will happen? One of the two things will happen. One thing is, even though they both are godly, the society does not think like that. If you have that much close relationship, going to their home and coming back, but your heart is very clean, you are godly, but society doesn't think like that. Pastor will destroy his reputation by being unwise. These are the things he is talking about. Then I was thinking, yeah, it's true. So many pastors were disqualified or they lost their reputation because they are unwise. They are not very careful about their spiritual life and purity. Just blindly they are going, just I am loving, I have concern about those women. The second thing will may happen. These words also were said by Pastor Chris. The second thing that will happen, that is, that lady will say, I love you, Pastor. Or another dialogue, the pastor may say, I love you. So he can tell that. Because no, you are spending so much time. Because that's why, no, the Holy Spirit said, young widows, you should marry. Because no, they can trouble pastors, they can trouble other men in the church. So Holy Spirit is very wise person. That's why he wrote those things. But usually those things happen. The pastor's wife is at home looking after those things. But those who are free, they are coming, they have deep relationship and finally destroying reputation or committing sins. These are the ways you may feel uncomfortable by listening these all things, but these things are truth. This is the one of the ways the pastors are disqualified from ministry. These are the temptations even you pastors have only. Those who don't have work, they always come to you, they always speak with you. Nothing wrong to counsel them, but be careful how you are dealing with them. Don't have so much concern for young widows or any woman in the church, in society, more than your wife. These are the tips you can take. These are the tips I am practicing in my life. Brothers, you should not love or show concern without your wife and more than your wife. That is the basic principle you should have. Because no, sin starts from that one, emotions, and then finally it leads to the sin. Some of you may say that I am single. This will apply to you as well, brothers. Counsel women with other men, with other women. Let the other women, ladies, to counsel those who are women who are coming to you. Open the door when you are alone with any woman. See, don't behave like the common youth, how they are like wandering here and there, going here and there. You should have that great reputation. You should not wander here and there to become an elder. You see, people may destroy your reputation if you are playing with here and there. Be careful. Even though your heart is clean, but there is a temptation. Brothers and brothers, even pornography are also part of being unfaithful to your wife. So many pastors was disqualified because they are watching pornography and they are not faithful. As single men, not being one woman man and not saving yourself for that one woman if you are watching those videos and pornography or sexual videos. Because you are not committed, you are not faithful to your future wife. This is the great sin. So many pastors were disqualified because of this sin. That's why God put this one first. This is most important thing. You should have faithfulness towards your wife as elder. Here I have some biblical tips to be faithful to your wife, to be faithful to your future wife. You can write it down and keep these tips forever with you. Whenever you are being tempted, whenever you are being tempted to do sexual sin, to be unfaithful to your wife, just remind these words, these four tips that I can bring from the Word of God. The first tip to be faithful to your wife is love your wife. Love your wife. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church, gave himself up for her. Did you see? This is talking about sacrificial love. Then Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 5, he talks about you need to die for your wife. If you love your wife so that you can die for her, how can you commit the sexual sins with somebody else? How can you unfaithful to your wife if you want to die for her? See, why people are doing sin, pastors are doing sin, our common believers are doing sin? Because they are not loving their wife. They are not loving their wives. That's the reason. Why so many youngsters are not being faithful to their future wife? Because they don't have strong commitment towards others. Yes, they are selfish people to satisfy themselves. They are not protecting, saving for future wives to be faithful. Love your spouse, love your wife. That is the first tip you can take. It will keep you from sinning sexual sin as elder, as a pastor in church. The second tip to be faithful to your wife is prioritize your time. Prioritize your time. Some of you are married, it is so useful to you. Some of you are going to marry in future. You can keep. After your marriage, you should have these things so that you can avoid this sexual sin. Prioritize your time. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 5. It says, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 5, stop depriving one another except by agreement for your time so that you may devote yourself to prayer. Come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Prioritize your time for sexual relationship with your wife. Some pastors, they are very busy wandering here and there. They don't have time, Bible study and preaching. They don't have time to have time with their wives. That's the reason. Even Paul says, Holy Spirit says, you need to give your time. The third tip to be faithful to your wife is be satisfied with your wife. Be satisfied with your wife. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15 to 19. Please turn with me. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15 to 19. These are the words that we need to memorize and meditate so that we can be pure pastors. 15 to 19, it says, drink water from your own cistern, fresh water from your own well. Should your spring be dispersed abroad, streams of water in streets? Then he talks about, let them be yours alone, not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed, and rejoice in the wife of your youth, as loving hen and graceful dove. Let her breast satisfy you at the time. It is talking about the relationship with your wife. Be satisfied with your wife. If you don't have satisfaction with your wife, you will commit that sin with another lady. These things happen many times. Many pastors have done sin because of this. The fourth one. The first one, love your wife. Second one, prioritize your time. The third one, be satisfied with your wife. The fourth one, remember God's judgment. Remember God's judgment. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. We heard, right, many times in marriage ceremony, right? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Marriage is not to be held in honor among all. The marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. So remember God's judgment. If you are playing with these things, if you are being tempted by these things, you run to God, run to Christ and pray to God, Lord help me. Remember these all things. Start loving your wife. Prioritize your time and be satisfied with your wife. And remember God's judgment. These things will help you to keep from sinning, to be unfaithful to your wife. The second required duty of an elder that makes him blameless in his family life is shepherding his children in godliness. Now we move on to the children. Shepherding his children in godliness. This is second required duty of an elder which makes him blameless in his family life. Look at verse 6. It says, namely, if a man is above reproach, having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion. Look at the word, having children. Having means, here it is talking about present tense. It is not like one day the elder may have the believing children, those who are not accused of any sins. But after some time, his children may be accused of a great sin. So which means, Paul is talking here, the elders should train their children. Elders should shepherd his children continually. If you are not training your children, if you are not shepherding your children, one day they will be rebellious children. So that's why I put the second required duty of an elder is shepherding his children in godliness. Look at the word children. Refers to youngsters who are minors and who is being under their parents' authority and shelter. He can't say exactly which age children he talks about, but he must have believing children, not accused of a very serious sins. Probably this can refer to children who are mature enough to understand right and wrong. But all children must be under discipline, because very small children, the infant children, they cannot do great crimes like this, right? We are going to discuss that later. The definition of dissipation, definition of rebellion, we will understand later within few minutes. But no, it is talking of, but ultimately, all age of children must be under discipline. In some cases, children are very disciplined when they were under their parents' authority. After they get job, after they married, then they will behave how they should not behave. That is not the responsibility of parents. After that person married and he separated from authority of parents and he has his own family, that time that is not responsibility of parents. When any child is under elder, if the child is not behaving how he should behave, how she should behave, that time it applies. It is not talking about all children, the elderly children, those who are married. So it is talking about the children who are under parents' shelter and authority. The two goals of shepherding his children. The first goal of shepherding his children is his children must be faithful. His children must be faithful. That is the goal. Why you need to shepherd your children? If you have children, in the future you are going to have children, your goal of shepherding your children is they must be faithful. They must be faithful. Look at verse 6, it says, having children who believe. The literal translation of this phrase is having believing children. The believing, that is adjective, right? In the Greek. The elder pastor should have believing children. Brothers, we have a debate about that adjective, about believing, right? Believing children. The Greek word is pistos, which means believing or trusting, or faithful and reliable. Most of the translators translated it as believing children, but some translation says that faithful children. Confusion between faithful and believing is expected, because the same Greek word used to refer to believing to be faithful. The best translation is faithful. I will explain you why it is faithful. Because the saving work of God is done by God alone, not by mommy, daddy. It is not parents' responsibility to save children. Believing means trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ to be born again. This is the work of God. Father is not responsible for the salvation of his child. He can't do it. But he can train his children in godly way because of his godly influence. He is a godly person. He can teach his children to behave godly even though they were not saved. One day they will save, but no, he has to train them to be faithful. He can train them, teach them what is faithfulness and ability. Look at the next phrase, verse 6, which says, not accused of dissipation, rebellion. If you translate this one as believing, elder should have believing, born again children, which will contradict again. Part B of 4:6, because not accused of dissipation or rebellion. If you understand meaning of those things, believer cannot do those things. If he is true believer, he cannot accused of dissipation, he cannot accused of rebellion. He has like fruit of spirit, right? He has godly character, which means it is not talking about believing children, it is talking about faithful children. Having faithful children, having some sense of faithfulness. If any pastor has his children, they should be faithful. They should be faithful. They should train them in faithfulness. Elder must shepherd his children to be faithful, reliable. When his children are not trustworthy. So for example, how children of elders are untrustworthy, unfaithfulness. How can we see that? He should not steal money from offering bag. Because most of the time, no, the offering bags will be kept in elders' place, right? Elders' house, accounts, everything will be there sometimes. The things of the church will be in a church surroundings, right? Church campus. The pastor's house will be mostly church campus, right? In Andhra, in other places. We can see that. So they should not use the church things for his needs. He went to buy some things for the church needs. She or he should not steal some money and say, I bought everything. But no, he steals some 100 rupees or 200 rupees. See, child is behaving like that. Child is like being unfaithful. Even sometimes unbelieving children cannot be like that. Sometimes parents, the pastors of children, being unfaithful, they are not reliable. If any pastor who has unfaithful children, he will be disqualified. He will be disqualified. He must have the faithful children. The second goal of shepherding his children is, his children must be unaccused of sin. His children must be unaccused of sins. Look at verse 6, part B. Not accused of dissipation or rebellion. The meaning of accused in Greek is an accusation, charge. The same word used, brothers here, same word used to refer accusation of crime. It is also used for judicial accusation, charges. This is not a false accusation, but it confirms these children have these kind of crimes. They have done these kind of crimes. Dangerous sins they have. Every sin is danger, but there are some sins more dangerous than other sins, right? Do you agree with me? So, children of elders should not do those kind of crimes and accused by the public. Arey, I can see he is pastor, his child, he killed one person. I can see a pastor's son, he robbed the bank. I see the child of a pastor, elder, he is fighting and beating other boys and girls. Did you see those kind of things? When a child of pastor is doing those kind of sins, the dangerous sins, that elder must be disqualified. Must be disqualified. That's what it says, accusation. Even if this was right, the qualification of a man who works for God's people have higher standards than the qualification of one who works for company and government. You see? They won't even think about children of employees, but in church, God not only considers, evaluates the character of an elder, a pastor, but also character of children. Character of children. Paul says that why the godly character of children of elders is important. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 4 to 5, he says he must be one who manages his household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. With all dignity. People should see these are the children of pastors. If children are very rude, very bad, they are doing the great sins, the small children they may not do. It's like almost the youngsters, like minority children, they will do those kind of sins. Here we have the two sins that his children must not be accused of. The first sin that his children must not be accused of. It is very important, right? He has to train his children first. That's what Paul says to Timothy. If he is not able to shepherd his own children and train them in righteousness, how can he shepherd many children of God? He is not able to train his own child, one or two children. How can he train, shepherd many children of God? He is unfit to shepherd the church if he fails to guide his own children. So that's why he has to focus. The two sins that he should, his children must not accused of, he has to focus on that. He has to train them in that, in righteousness, in godliness, that one day God will save them. But you need to teach to them. The first sin is dissipation. Look at verse 6, dissipation. Not accused of, dissipation. The meaning of the word dissipation is reckless abandon, debauchery, profligacy, which means basic definition of the dissipation is spending money, using resources excessively, wastefully, excessive or immoral activities involved in sex, alcohol, food, drugs. So that is the definition of dissipation. Dissipation is nothing but a wild animal. Do you know wild animal, how the wild animal behave? The wild animal cannot behave like human beings. The child who is of the pastor's son or daughter who is behaving like wild animal, like no, everything is excessively, that excessive immoral activities, excessive spending of money, excessive drinking alcohol, everything is excessive. Like the same word used for example of prodigal son. The prodigal son has a life of dissipation. You know prodigal son? He's not a good son. Just he went out of the house. Luke chapter 15, 12 to 13 says, he said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me." So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, immediately the younger son gathered everything together, went on a journey into the distant country. There he spent his estate with losing living. You see, that is the definition of dissipation. If any elder who has the child who is like prodigal son, so that is the meaning of dissipation. That elder is not qualified as elders in the church. If any elder has like prodigal son, who spends his money on unbeneficial things, runs away from their parents to live luxury life, then that elder is not above reproach in his family life, so he can't be an elder. Do you think pastor is preaching and he is preaching verse by verse, he knows doctrine, but his son is not coming to church, he is there at party and drinking and dancing in pub and eating drugs and doing all kind of things, but he is not coming to the church, that pastor is not qualified? He cannot tell everybody in the church. He cannot be a pastor because his son is not behaving how he should behave. So that's why he is saying it is a great sin. It is not like small sin if children have this kind of sin. The elder who has children who are involved in sexual sin, children of pastor is involved in sexual sins. So that elder is not qualified. The children of elders who is drunken, he is not qualified. That elder is not qualified as elders. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. To understand the meaning of that word, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18 says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation." Did you see? Drinking wine more, that is dissipation. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, 3 to 4 says, "For the time already passed is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of Gentiles, having pursued a course of sexuality, lusts, drunkenness, drinking parties, and idolatries." Verse 4 says, "In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same access of dissipation." The idea is Christians don't run with Gentiles in the same access of dissipation. The context tells us that dissipation is having pursued a course of sexuality, the lust, drunkenness, drinking parties, idolatries. If pastor is preaching, his son is worshipping some idols, that elder is not qualified because he is not keeping. He is not training his child. If pastor is preaching, his son is dancing there in pub and drinking and he is not coming to church, that elder is disqualified. If any man has children who has these all sinful qualities, he will be accused of dissipation. His father is not fit to be an elder in the church. Even Proverbs 28 verse 7 says, he who keeps the law is a discerning son, but he who is a companion of gluttons humiliates his father. Again he is connecting like parties and food, no time for church, no time for Bible study, just enjoying his life as a child of pastor. If any pastor has that kind of child, he is disqualified. Great standard, right, brothers? Great standard. To become an elder in church, not only you need to look at your own life, but you need to look after your children as well. So you are responsible. It is true, right, Proverbs 28:7. He who is companion of gluttons humiliate his father. In another way, we can say that he who is accused of dissipation humiliates his father. His father cannot be an elder in the church. Cannot be elder in the church. The second sin that his children must not be accused of is the rebellious behavior. Look at verse 6. It says, not accused of dissipation or rebellion. The meaning of the word rebellion is insubordinate, refusing submission to authority. They cannot be subject to control. They don't submit to authority of their father and mother. They will fight with them, speak bad words against them. If they are asked to submit to any authority of parents, if pastor who is elder, he is commanding his children, do this one, I can't do this. Sometimes the children of pastors, they will use bad words against their parents. You are stupid, you are useless. If somebody is using those kind of languages and fighting, not submitting to authority, so that elder is not training his children in proper way. Even 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 says, realizing the fact that law is not made for righteous person, but those who are lawless and rebellious, then he says like this, for those who kill their fathers or mothers. The rebellion is in peaks. Children are killing their father and mother. Did you see? If children are willing to submit to authority of the Bible and their parents, they will commit all kinds of sins which proceeds afterward. They won't submit to authority of officers and lecturers and professors, the good rules of government. They are just rebellious youngsters in colleges, in playground, in society. They fight physically with other boys and girls. They are just rebellious. They won't submit anywhere. So that time, that pastor, the father of that child, will be disqualified. Great command, right? Even we need to depend on God. How we raise our children. How we raise our future children. It is a responsibility. Who is the responsibility? Who is responsible for the sins of his children? Is it he or she? Is it mother? Is it society? Is it father? Who is responsible of that sin? Is it mother? Is it children? Who? Father. Father is responsible. The answer is father, father, father. The head of the house. Because he is not shepherding their children in the way God wants to shepherd. They are very busy with Bible study, Again, Sunday preaching and visiting, evangelism, church planting, no time for children. The children are becoming rebellious people and wild animals like. But just they are teaching everybody. So that's why Christ is helping us as pastors. We should focus on our own family. We should train our children first, then later others. The one man of God said that the home is regarded as training ground for Christian leaders. The home is regarded as training ground for Christian leaders. It's like training. You need to learn that, how to shepherd the church in your family. You have to pray for them, brothers, with them. You need to study the word with them, for them. What does it mean to study for them? You need to understand their sinful behavior and talk with them about it. Pray with them for victory over those things. And teach them word of God which purifies them. You know, right, where your children are struggling, take some verses and take those verses and study and explain to your children when they are rebellious, when they are doing sin. It is a training process, right? It is a training process. Psalm 119 verse 9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. So you need to train, you need to shepherd your children in godliness. How it is possible? To teach, by teaching them the word of God. Helping them. Studying word of God with them. Understanding the word of God. Helping them as father, one who loves them. We brothers, as fathers, as elders, we need to love our children better than anybody else. We need to love our children, help them to grow in Christ, then we focus on the church. We must make our priorities. If our children are not doing good, we are focusing on others, that is useless. That is useless. We need to focus on that. You know that Bill Johnson was a godly man. Because his son is not doing well, he gave a recognition letter. Then he went, he helped his child, then he joined again. Ministry is not most important thing, brothers. Preaching word of God is not most important thing if your sons are doing bad. If your sons are doing bad, that is most important thing. You go there, you give up, you tell your associate pastors or your church, see, I am facing this problem, my child is not doing, please give me 2 months, 3 months, I need to work on that. Because he is better than you. Can you say that? Can you say that? We are so prideful because this job is very interesting. The standing before people and showing up, showing our all talents and scriptures, even though you know all things, even though you know Greek and Hebrews, your children are doing well, please say to church, please give me time, because he is important. I will be disqualified, you will be disqualified if we are not training our children, your future children. Keep in your mind, this is most important thing. So what about unmarried, childless elders? Doubt will come, right? But how can we apply this to them? Childless, unmarried. I borrowed a godly tip from John Stott. He says like this, those who are unmarried are childless. Before being accepted for a wider ministry, they should have proved themselves in a narrower one. For example, in Sunday school or youth Bible study. So if you don't have children in future, God gives you children, we hope. But in other cases, those who don't have children, they need to train, they need to teach in Sunday school, they need to teach in youth Bible study, help them to grow, they need to prove themselves to take wider ministry. That is the suggestion, the godly suggestion that godly man is giving to us. So brothers, two required duties of an elder that makes him blameless in his family life. The first required duty is being faithful to your wife, being faithful to his wife in marriage. Second duty is shepherding his children in godliness. It is continuous process. It is not like one time process. It is continuous process. If we are not following that, we are not qualified to be elder. Let me ask you like this. Why must you remove yourself from ministry as elders if you are not above reproach in family? The answer is simple. The first reason is God will not work through your ministry. Even though you force yourself to be elder, no one will listen to your sermons, your preachings, because they are not seeing in you what you are teaching to them. Because you are teaching, be faithful to your wife, but you are having sex with another lady. How they will listen? When you are preaching, no, they will remember. And this fellow has keeper, like he has some sex with other lady, but he is teaching us. Will they listen? They won't listen. They won't accept. God will not work through your life. I can give you a simple example. Why you should remove yourself if you don't have this qualification? That example is, I was working in medical shop in lockdown to provide my family. So many patients are coming to our medical shop to buy medicine. One person came, he said to my boss, he is a pharmacist, he said, I have problem of hair falling. See how much hair I lost. He is showing, I was watching everything. Then my boss said, who is pharmacist, recommended one oil to him, saying this oil definitely solves the problem of hair fall. You will get new hair because of this oil. This medicine is very good. Then he said, you should buy this. Then what happened? That person, friend of me, he bought it and went. I was looking at the hair wig of my boss. While he was recommending that oil, he is explaining, buy this oil, take this oil, the hair will come. But I was looking at his wig. He has wig. If he recommends that oil, I would not buy it. Because what he recommends, me is not working in his life. I don't listen to him at all. In the same way, brothers, if someone preaches about marriage life and parenting and godliness but does not apply them in his life, those teachings are not working in his life, no one will listen to that teaching, that person, because he is not qualified elder. You got? Why we should be disqualified, remove ourselves from ministry? Because no one will listen if you don't have this qualification. I don't want to conclude this sermon with a negative sense, but I want to conclude this by encouraging you. You can have a blameless family life by grace alone. By grace alone. You need to love Christ, the church, His church. Remember the privilege that you have being an elder in the church. Sometimes I come to Cornerstone, I see all people and gathering, then I think about myself, what a privilege you have given to me, Lord. Shepherding, teaching these people who are better than me in many areas. What a privilege we have shepherding God's people, God's children. If you have that motivation, if you have that motivation, if you have love for Christ, if you have love for church, He will help you. Please depend on Him. Whenever you are being tempted, don't say that, I cannot be tempted by these things. You ask God, depend on God for this blameless life in your family life. Finally, I conclude. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 to 12 and 13 says, Paul says to Philippians, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and tremble. We must have fear and tremble, right? So that we can have blameless life. Then he talks about verse 13. For it is God who is at work in you, He says, God is working. God is sanctifying you. God is helping you. God started the great thing in your heart. He will accomplish. He will accomplish to will and to work of His good pleasure. If God is working in your life, if you have fear and tremble, He will help you to be blameless in your family life, in your character, in your conduct. Do you believe this? Do you depend on God? Do you depend on the grace of Christ? Him alone? Do you depend on the Holy Spirit? He will help you to be blameless. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you so much for your word. Lord, what a privilege that you have given to me, given to us, to shepherd your church, to preach your word. Lord, you are not seeing only our talents and the ability to teach and preach, but you are seeking more about our character and life, Lord. Lord, I pray for us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to have godly character. Lord, help us to be elders who have high standards, Lord. Lord, I pray these brothers, help them to grow in spiritual life, especially their family life. Lord, give us strength, give us grace, give us mercy, Lord, so that we can be qualified to be elder. Lord, you are the one who qualifies us to be elders. Lord, help us to tremble before you, to fear before you, Lord. Help us, make us a slave of Christ, only thinking about your kingdom, helping our church members. Lord, we need your help, we need your grace. Lord, make us faithful husbands to only one wife. Lord, give us strength to shepherd our children in godliness. Lord, help us, Lord. Show you mercy and grace. We need you. We need your strength. We trust in you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.